Why is Francesco now down as Francisco?
He's probably mistyped.
Oh, he's wearing also a thong. Has he got a thong on? Has he got a is he is wearing his thong, Ian?
Francesco's now Borat.
From Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
I watched the Apple event.
Very good.
Anyway, Whitfield.
Very good keynote.
I need to bring this to your attention. Well, actually, I need to bring it to Mark's attention.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Go on,
and everybody else, apparently.
I'm deeply disappointed in you. I'm not angry. I'm just really disappointed.
You're really disappointed.
In you.
Is it because I didn't watch Clarkson's Farm immediately?
Well, oh, I've caught that, up. But it's worse. It's worse than that because I'm pretty sure you'll watch part two 2 days ago on time.
Yes.
It's worse than that.
I haven't
really. How can it
I
worse
haven't run
than
over
that?
Anything?
It's worse than that.
Oh, dear God.
Seriously, it is worse
ladies
than the
and
most
gentlemen,
heinous crime
I'm
you can imagine.
Apparently an international criminal right here.
Yes. He's you've always criminal. Said to me, and I'm going on the record, you've said this over the last 3.5 years, that you can't abide Eurovision.
Okay.
Right. And your point
okay.
is?
The penny's starting to drop.
Where's he going with this?
A big hairy Australian tells me that you're actually holding... I could barely bring myself to say it. A Eurovision
event
party this
it's
weekend.
It's on Campfire. Make sure you can get the event link now. Free rewards include one gin and tonic.
Don't try and brush this away.
No.
You're holding a bloody Eurovision party, Sunshine, and I'm really disappointed in you.
Ian, I love you. You know that. But I'm going to say this. Mine, I'm proud of you.
This is incense divided.
Right, no, hear me out, right? And I'm gonna, it's a confession, right? So, when we were in Seville, in Safari Zone in Seville,
Seville,
we watched Eurovision when we were out there in the evening, and obviously the right country won it. We know what happened. Ukraine deserved winners and all that, but it was mental. Everyone loved it. But Milo, you've changed. Where's this love for Eurovision come from? You have caught me off guard a bit.
Wouldn't say necessarily a love for Eurovision.
I would go as far as love. I can see the smirk on your face.
I'm just amused that you think four people makes a party. I mean, I know technically three is a crowd.
Two people can make a party, dude.
So yeah. The backstory.
One person can make a party.
The backstory behind this is when I was in Italy last year and Eurovision was on and Francesco Martin and I had quite a lot of pistachio liqueur. We found ourselves watching Finland's performance and it was just beyond ridiculous and funny. So that was where we were like, okay, and it's not really being invested in Eurovision. Like, I will say the Australian you've mentioned knows all the lyrics to every single one of the Eurovision songs. I don't even know who's made it through to wherever. What I mean, Mark, you said something about host countries and semi-finalists.
Yeah. Well, this is the first it's news this to year. Me. But Ian, obviously you love Eurovision, you're playing this very coolly in. So my question is, do you know where this Eurovision's been held? Or it will have been held?
I have no idea. I cannot abide Eurovision. When my ex used to watch it, I was not in the room.
It's been held in Malmo, which if all smart people are going to do, they'll be living in Copenhagen and just getting on the train over to Malmo and not paying the stupid prices. But I digress. This is the first year ever that the Big Five, and okay, we're part of the Big Five. Ian, I think you hit the nail on the head. We spend too much money on music and we're invested in this and the BBC.
No, we do, because even when we get 0 points, technically by the rules of Eurovision, we should be booted, but because the BBC put so much money into it, we're never going to get booted.
And they pay for Graham Norton as well, which I guess, why don't the Irish have him host this show? Oh, yes, Scott But because this is the first year anyway that the Big Five and the host country are going to be taking part in the semi-final. So as we're recording tonight, Great Britain are taking part in the semi-final. Now, I'm led to believe that we still get to go to the final, even though we're taking part in the semis. But apparently it gives us time to perform in front of the audience before the big final. I think originally we just all throw ourselves around on the semi-finals, don't pay any attention. Then we turn up on the night for the final, hoping we might win it. And we're a little bit rusty and the audience can't warm.
But we're never
going to
win it because Europe hates the UK.
Hashtag Brexit.
And France. And Germany. Oh, what a surprise, every of the big five. But my final part on this is, why don't Australia give us 12 points?
Come on, Lachlan.
What's that about?
It's political.
Goodness
me. Eurovision's political.
But if anyone wondering, this is a Pokemon podcast, not a Eurovision podcast.
Yeah,
we'll
get into
back
the show.
I choose you! tonight on episode 170. It's not as catchy as 69, is it? But anyway, 170, we are joined by the boy, Ian, who has found his wiglet. I've got my man Milo here as well, who has been bonding down under. I don't know what I mean by that, but
what?
Written it down anyway.
I know what it means.
I don't.
That's so does Whitfield.
Milo's like, I don't know.
That's the chloroform, mate. That's the roofing.
And I'm letting someone else run my pub for the night. It is the Incense Podcast. And to our listeners, I am joined by the amazing Mr. Vassafal, Ian Waterfall, and Pogo Yaya Toure UK. No, it was Yaya Binks, wasn't it? Pogo Milo UK.
Is that a Eurovision act?
Milos Whitfield. And I'm your host, the one and only rural country boy, Masterful 27. Guys, how are you doing, boys?
That was a whirlwind.
I think you know how I'm feeling from the cold open. Seriously, Whitfield, very disappointed. But we're not going about that any further
tonight. No, let's not talk about that, but enjoy the weekend, people. Vassa, don't worry, we can still talk about Clarkson's Farm. That'll soften the burn, I think.
We encourage that.
I was so gutted, actually. I watched the first four episodes, I'm like, where's episode 5? So I had to get on Google. It's like, oh yeah, we split it into two
parts.
Chunks. Like, no!
Two chunks of Clarkson.
Nice. Two smaller chunks of Clarkson compared to one large. Yeah, it's good to be here. Episode 170. Looking forward to the stuff we've got planned for the show. Mr. Rural Man, how are you doing?
I'm recovering from a really bad cold. It's man flu, obviously. We all sympathise with each other, or empathise. I don't know which one's more preferable. But yeah, it's not good, is it, boys? I'm here, though, and actually, I'm feeling pretty good. When we're here a week on, it means we're another week closer to the best period of the year.
Christmas.
Thanksgiving.
According to you, it was last weekend, Ian.
Oh, according to you, Milo, it's this weekend. It is obviously a week closer to the Go Fest season. So, to the listeners that listen to the show, we're all here. We're feeling good. We're not prim and proper. We're not like that. But,
oi, you dirty dogs, drop your incense.
Thank you very much, Zoe. The reason we ask you to do that for any new listeners to the show is it just allows you to enjoy the game with us in your ears. Yes, we are taking advantage of your hearing senses out there, because like most people that can't multitask, you can play Pokemon Go and listen at the same time.
While catching pidgeys.
C'est possible. But yes, we will be sending you all that shiny and hundo look your way as you listen to our show. And if you are lucky to get something exciting, amazing, shiny, non-shiny, it's got to be shiny. Let's go, hundos. I'm digressing here. If you get anything or listen to the podcast, you want to share it with us and you want to put it on across our social media platforms on X, Threads, Instagram, Discord, Campfire, can use our world famous hashtag, which is Shinies of the Week.
Could you please clarify that spelling for me? Please.
Sure can, JT. That is S-H-I NIESOFTHEWEEK. And that'll help us find your posts.
Nice.
Ian, you look like you want to say something to me.
Well, yes, because there are other ways to contact us. You can contact us using our email, contact@incensepodcast.com. You can send us a lovely letter, or you can send us a shiny of the week that way. You can also do it via our WhatsApp number by recording a voicemail or sending us a screenshot using the hashtag Shiners a Week to +44 759 269 5696.
Far more professional than me, isn't he, Milo?
I don't know about that.
Well,
he's not going to stick up for me after tonight.
Maybe he's got sight of getting to know your question before him, and he's just prepping himself for his
answer. Actually, to be fair, I think Milo's crime actually is that.
So Ian is very much, he's probably going to join all the students in the, what was it, Ban Eurovision protests.
And now, children, it's time for Getting to Know You with the Incensed Podcast.
So it is the getting to know you section. And I am going to ask the question, but I am going to also say a big thank you to the What's Good podcast for inspiring me to basically copy this and share it with the boys.
Outsourcing.
I heard this question and it made me think, and I liked it. And the question is to you boys, is if you could stop a crime by committing the same crime, what would you choose? I'm going to let you boys have a little moment to think about that and share with me your answers. And we'll see if any of our listeners like your
wild question,
process.
Actually.
It's a crazy question, because if you were to stop a crime by doing the same crime, it doesn't make sense because the same crime would still have been committed.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
But you're committing the crime to the person who would have committed the crime. So you're like a personal justice system.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
You're saying you're Judge Dredd?
Sure. Active in West London.
Ian's Judge Dredding your Eurovision shindig.
I'm not. If I have to, I'll watch anything else other than that. I might go and see The Fall Guy, actually.
Watch Ian drive down to unplug me house electricity. You shall not watch Eurovision.
Can I come down and cut your power?
I don't think that's actually a crime. It's like mild vandalism.
Okay. See, this one really does have me torn, because I don't see how committing one to stop another would benefit anything. But I couldn't go for anything violent. It would have to be something sort of white collar. So maybe do some like tax fraud or something. I don't know. It would have to be something that would be warranted. If I'm doing it to the person that would have done it, it would have to be like that. So. Yeah, I don't know. Let's go tax fraud. Ooh.
You know, fraud.
Let's go fraud.
You know, fraud,
yeah, let's go fraud. Yeah.
Go fraud.
Yeah.
Because I know we have a lot of accountants that listen to the show, but if they don't vote tonight.
A big demographic of ours. Maybe they're like playing your decks right with all the numbers.
Yeah. Two wrongs don't make it right, so it's a tough one for me. Well, yeah, let's go fraud, just general fraud.
Interesting.
Fraud like that. Why
like
your
Milo.
Audience
I hate your jet. I'm actually. That's hypocritical, isn't it, actually?
I'll forever be remembered by Vassa as Eurovision now. So
you're never going to live this down now. We'll be doing this podcast in like 50
I'm
years
I'm going to send
time.
You so
I'll
many
like
videos
90
this
something
weekend
years
just
old
to annoy
like,
you.
I still remember when you watched Eurovision Sunshine.
I'm doing this podcast in however many decades time.
2 years in a row you've actually committed the act of
committed lunatic
actually admitting to watching it last year as well. That's 2 years in a row. That, my friend,
my son, what are you going to say, son?
I nearly did, actually.
I thought he was going down that.
Going fully northern with that one.
Milo didn't bat an eyelid then. He went, yes, Dad. I am your father. Oh, my God, we got
Star Wars.
Star Wars
last
again.
Week. Still last week. Before I dive into what I think I might go for my option, and these did cross my mind, is what the Patreon chat is saying. So Maz, Barside, and well, Francesca also are saying, like, a murder for a murder.
Yeah, but would you actually want to be a murderer?
So there's the thing. Maz said, if you can stop a mass murder by one murder, yes, which I can kind
I
can
see. I like Sue's response. It says, being boring is a crime, but it doesn't prevent anybody else from being boring.
If you steal the boredom,
love that, so.
If you steal the boredom by being the most boring person in the room,
yep, you're fun.
Not this
yeah,
week,
yeah, but, and that is a crime. But it's a crime. It's a crime to be too fun, Milo. Remember that. So
that's why admitting to Eurovision brought it down a peg. I was thinking like fraud's quite a good one. I was trying to think like in London with like moped crime and stuff like that.
Could Milo, you do? I park on the double yellow line. That's on my house.
I break the parking zone restrictions.
Parking zone.
Could you do like stop hit and runs by causing a hit and run or something like that. Because I've seen so many circumstances.
Real life GTA, is that what you're saying?
Something along those lines. I mean, you have no idea how many cyclists I'd like to put an umbrella through their wheel.
Oh, I do. I really do. Because
honestly, I've seen so, even doing, you know, the driving around here, you see so many people nearly get run over, and it's pedestrian crossing. It's their right of way, zebra crossing. And cyclists just go, even mopeds just go straight through and nearly hit children. You know, I would quite gladly knock you off any day of the week because you're a terrible human being. So can I go with that? Like a hit and run.
Do you know what I love about our
Don't
boys
tell me you put cyclists.
I actually wrote on there Grand Theft Auto as one of my options. So well done, Milo. You've got Grand Theft Auto. Okay. Because I do agree with that. It'd be real life Grand Theft Auto, wouldn't it? Like, you could just take people out of your car if someone's doing it to stop them. And I think, if anything, it probably just tells people more about my mindset.
You're basically becoming one of those crossing assistants who help children cross the road to go to school, but you're doing it in a criminal way.
Absolutely.
I will make the road safer by knocking all the morons off.
I mean, I think, referencing what you said, Ian, at the beginning, and it's a good point you raise, is that how would committing the same crime against someone who's committing that said crime benefit the world? But I'm sure there's probably a lot of people in the world that would like to commit perjury, as Donald Trump probably is at the moment, allegedly.
Oh, he might not be allegedly.
We're not a political podcast.
Allegedly,
just make that clear.
Not a political podcast. I would allegedly commit perjury as well to deal with DJT.
It's all hearsay.
Good band, Ian, from the 90s, before Milo's time, hearsay.
Or before 95.
Pure and simple. Was that hearsay? Yeah,
that was actually, wow, there's a throwback.
Pulled that from somewhere, didn't I, Ian? Sure. Ian's gone for fraud. Milo, you've gone for GTA. I like the idea of it. Like, I've been watching Kin, basically. Kin's a great show. If anyone wants to watch it, Google Kin, K-I-N. It's about Irish drug gangs,
I've seen trailers for it.
I'm going to go down the road of, if someone has killed someone on the act of something to target another family in a scenario like that, I wouldn't think too much, or it wouldn't take too long for me to shoot that person. I say that, I wouldn't do it in real life. I wouldn't know what to do. But I would have, for the purpose of the question, I think it's quite different answers. We've got fraud, GTA, and murder.
Is that a rural coming out? It's a life for a life out here.
Well, you can kill most things that age. You don't get in trouble for it, but allegedly...
You can't run over badgers. That's illegal.
Well, they damage your bloody car, Milo. Would you want to do that? I mean...
Oh, in my case, it'd be Badger 1, Mazda 0.
Badgers, you can't kill badgers. We know this.
Yeah,
we've learned this.
I know.
Yeah, Christopher Packham doesn't like it, does he? He loves his badgers.
He'll murder you in this scenario.
But anyway, they are the answers then. So we're going to go fraud, Grand Theft Auto... A murder. There's been a murder.
There's been a murder.
if your ears aren't tingling now from what you've heard so far, I don't know what's going to get you.
Don't have
so carrying in the comments, just put, Milo should be the killer lollipop man. And I love badgers. Two random comments.
The lollipop
that sounds like a really, really terrible action movie.
It's like Aquaman, isn't it? It's like, you can be the worst one in this.
Milo could be like the new Freddy Krueger, like the killer lollipop man.
Hey, Ian, he does look a bit like Freddy Krueger, doesn't he?
Okay, down this road.
He looks a little bit like Freddy Krueger, yes. Before he was burned.
That's quite a good segue. Because speaking of things I'd like to burn, it brings a wretch to my throat doing this, but Got Baguettes Lads had a weekend. So I've been told to lead this discussion.
That's because, Whitfield, you did all 50 battles. That's why you've been asked to do this one.
And who verified that for you?
Your video.
Yeah.
Did I put it in the video?
Yes, the Australian told me.
Hold on, he did a video of a Jeep. Milo. Oh, so Milo.
It was like a passive thing.
Yeah, here we go.
And the one thing I will say is I have to be very proud of anybody who follows the same strat as I do, and you guys may have done the same, we'll find out soon. Anybody who decides to take in the level 1 10 CP shinies into battle, those head-to-heads provide the most amount of GBL Got Baguettes Lads entertainment you could possibly find. You see what people bring in, and they're so fast. But yeah, I did the 50 battles. I got gifted the research. It was 3XL candy.
I don't do GBL.
I don't do GBL, seriously. And it shall not be touched, therefore, until the next ticketed thing that comes this way. I didn't take it seriously at all. I just took in level ones the entire way and did all 50 to just get the research done and dusted. And that was it. And did it passively in between walking to Shadow Suicune raids in central London. And it was nice to have Dwayne alongside of me doing exactly the same thing.
That's it, throw other people under the bus as well.
Don't throw people
lots
under
of,
the
lots
bus.
Of people were doing this. It was fun to watch. Once tap done, get out of the way, and that was my sum total of GBL weekend. And we'll do a little, where did you get to on your rank afterwards?
Sounds good.
So, Ian, did you do the research?
So, yes, I did also get gifted the research, and it's nice that people gift us this research, but GBL really isn't my thing. I don't hate it. It's just not my thing. I wasn't sick in my mouth like you was, but
yeah.
Still continued to do it. But I got the research. I did what I had to do to get my Elite Charge TM, which was essentially get through the free research. But I did it properly. Like I actually went in with proper teams. I didn't go in with the...
Oh, here we go. Missed I go with a proper team.
So I actually
giving
did
me
go
rubbish.
In and do my 10 battles. Granted, at least 4 of them were with 10 CP mons. But I went in seriously to do it. But I was only ever going to do 10 battles.
I'm disappointed in you, Vasa.
I completed my free research. I got my Elite Charge TM. And my sandals.
Whatever they were.
I did 2 levels of the ticketed research. I didn't do it passively. I don't really think there's enough hours in the day to convince me that it's worth doing passively. But for the 10 minutes that I did do it, I got what I wanted out of it.
Interesting.
There we go.
Interesting.
Ian is a traitor.
I thought this was going to happen, by the way. I kind of envisaged this was going to happen. Because I know when there's a temptation of... Elite moves and XL rare candy, and the fact we're very fortunate the tickets are gifted to us. Mm-hmm. We are very fortunate
about
that.
We really
that.
Are, yeah.
I have a moral obligation that I want to give it a go anyway if someone's been kind enough to do that. And that's kind of where my head was with it. Obviously, I've not been well over the weekend, so it meant I had more time to focus on it. And I'm going to let you into a little secret, Ian. I had you alongside me on my battles, my man.
Oh, really?
Because I did 50. I actually did 54.
You've got that on my estimation too.
Oh my God.
I got carried away. But what I did was I let the game pick my first team for me. So
Vasa's definitely the more serious of us three.
Yeah.
I did the least battles. How can I?
You took proper teams. I went in with a level 1 shiny Petalil.
Anywho, I let it pick a team first for me. And by doing that, I stumbled up with the Pokemon that I then kept as my lead throughout all my battles because more than half of the time, no one could work out how to defend against it. So, Alamomola, you are my saviour. You are my saviour with Waterfall as my my fast move. My charge move was Hydro Pump. So, Alamomola, and that was brilliant. And in the end, I just kind of stuck with what I knew. I had Alamomola on there. I had my Shadow Mewtwo 1499 CP one in there, which did tear the hell out of a few teams quite quickly. And I did have my Weather Ball Politoed Shadow as well in there. So they were my 3 that I played predominantly with. I did not, across all my battles, stumble across a 10 CP-er. So that was encouraging in itself.
Yeah. Wow.
And I did also have a personal target that I wanted to get from it. And that was the platinum badge on Great League Veteran. Mm-hmm. So I got myself to 980 leading into this. I finished on over 1,000 now. I'm on 1,006. So I've got a platinum badge in there that was just bothering me. The others are nowhere near even gold, by the way. haven't got the inclination to do the other two. I think that is a lot of time, unfortunately, when you get above 1500 CP. Obviously for Milo, anything above 10 CP would have been a bit too much for him.
Okay, so I've got a question then. Because I was doing it, even though the two of you, well, Mark was doing it and Milo was kind of
having a laugh.
I went Ultra League. Did you go Ultra League or did you go Great League Remix?
I went Great League. Great League's 1500 CP.
You went Great
CP,
League
the
Remix
mix.
Then, yeah. So there were some things remix, banned yeah. in that one, I guess.
Yeah, not Alan Momola for everyone who lost to me.
I was Ultra League because I wanted my mons to die quicker. But on the back of that, I will say there is a type of person who was on that battle day who is just the worst. And it's the people who take in the serious stuff, like 2499 CP things. See, you've got level one, so obviously you
and they just don't battle,
and they
just
don't
let you time
tap
out
to battle. And like, you are such a low life.
I love that. I love those people.
To be honest,
it's terrible. It's tapping,
I'm giving
tapping,
you
tapping,
a free win. On
they
this
don't
point.
Want the free win, Milo.
I want a challenge.
What did they go?
That would be even high pitched, that one.
Yeah, we've already heard the squirrel.
There, just terrible. And you sit there and like, I'm sat in the street waiting for this Shadow Suicune to hatch. And it's like, I just want to move on with my life. But I would like to ask the question, since you two took it seriously, Mark did a lot of battles, Ian did some, enough to get the research done.
I did 10. I did a fifth of it. I just thought it was way too much effort to do 50 battles for 3 rare candy, essentially.
Rare XL.
Exactly, 3 rare XL. It's like 50 battles now. Give me 10, I might have considered it.
Okay, well, be that as it may, what is your current rank on GBL? Or should I say, what is your end rank for GBL for this season? Because we're not going to touch it ever again.
Absolutely.
I think it's, is it rank 4, rank 5? I only did
You
10.
Could look at your phone.
I could, actually.
I got myself to rank 8 with 11 wins out of 52 battles, and my longest streak of wins was 2.
How many starters did you earn off
that? I got 18,600 dust.
Because that is something I did put down. Your stardust jumps up if you play GBL.
If you win, plus that's the thing, is if you put a star piece on with the paid research, it was 6K, 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 quite a lot. You do get a bit of stardust, which is nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
So I'll go next. I am currently rank 5 with 8 wins from 20 battles.
Solid ratio.
With a longest streak of 3. Oh my God, we sound like the Waylords.
I do.
Rest in peace.
Well, boys. I am rank 11.
Whoa!
So I've got my double stars. And from 54 battles, I finished with 32 wins, which I thought was a nice ratio.
Oh, so you got about 3 times the amount of wins that I did.
Longest streak of 5 and 52,900 stardust acquired.
Nice.
It was so... I'm there playing it right. I don't screen record battles anymore. I just don't... There was so much... I wish I'd screen recorded that. I was actually enjoying it. And it wasn't the sense of me understanding GBL, but it wasn't about that. I wasn't playing going, oh, I actually want to keep doing this. I want to get to leg end status. It doesn't interest me whatsoever. Yeah. But for me, it was the bit of taking a win from someone else who thought they were going to beat you, thinking that they probably would take it more seriously than me. And I loved that little dynamic. It was a little game. But it was buggy as hell. Charged up. You couldn't deploy the charge of them. You wouldn't have had that problem with your 10 CPs.
Oh, really? No, I didn't experience that.
But like, you would get there, it was flashing, you're hitting, and it wasn't going. And I could see why.
Well, like I had a chance to encounter that.
No, exactly. I've got to say, I enjoyed it. I said, like I said when I posted it on social, I said, see you again next year. Brilliant.
Next season.
Next season.
Yeah.
Next season.
Jinx. Yeah.
I should have. I don't have a level 1 smooching or jinx, unfortunately. But
so I was going to say, should we use our rank score for rating out of 10 for this event? But I can't give it an 11 out of 10.
I was going to say, you're out of numbers.
I'm out of numbers. Let's rate this then, boys. Milo.
Sure.
What are we going to give it?
Just for the fact that you get some okay rewards from both the free and the paid research, and that you can do what I did and just basically have a laugh and take level 1 shinies in and just do it on the go. I was literally walking around the streets of central London while just not tapping properly. I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
I'm not looking where he was going, Ian, either.
No, that's the key. I was looking where I was going. I wasn't looking what I was doing in the battle.
Good Fair point. So four for Milo. Okay.
That's half my rank. It's the fact that you can get away with doing what I was doing. If they made you win the GBL battles, this would be a minus 10.
Wow, I'd still be playing it now. Well, it's finished now, but
yeah.
Go on, Ian.
So the event, for somebody that enjoys GBL, would have been actually really good. For somebody like me that doesn't dislike GBL but doesn't really have time to put any effort into it, it was okay. It wasn't difficult to get through the free research. As I say, I'm very grateful that I got gifted the ticket for the paid research, but unfortunately, my time is very valuable and I didn't have the time to invest in it seriously to get through that. On that basis, that it was easy to get through, you didn't even have to win the battles you were in, as Whitfield has clearly given us examples for. I also am going to actually mirror his score. It's worth a 4 out of 10 for me. Let's say, if I was more into GBL, it might have got a higher score.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I've said it to you guys, I find myself doing that dance with GBL where I sit and go, oh no, here we go. And then I kind of get some sort of, like I've explained previously, some enjoyment out of it. And that isn't the love for GBL, it's more that game. And it made me smile quite a bit, actually. I've been feeling a bit under the weather this week, and it actually made me smile quite a bit playing it. So I think, for me, that was a positive. I'm going to give it a... sod this. I'm going to give it a 6. I actually really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I'm not a PvP. I'm not going to be playing it anymore. If the guys call me out on that and say, what's your rank mark? And it's like 20. I'll be like, oh, no.
You've caught me. Wait for his expo. I hit ace.
So I think Maz makes a great point in our chat, actually. If it didn't glitch so much, I think I'd be more into it. Do you know, if I was invested in it and that glitching was stopping me winning battles because I was invested in it, I can see why I wouldn't play it, or I could see why people wouldn't want to play it. So mirroring what Ian said there, if you're not into GBL, you know, if you get something out of it, you might find some sort of middle ground of it. But if you really like it, you might really enjoy it. It might be the polar opposite. You might really enjoy GBL, but actually it was so buggy as hell during that event because it had loads of people on the servers trying to get through the research for their 10 CPers throughout the weekend. I can see why people would go, I'm not affecting my ELO. Do you like that, Ian? ELO.
I mean, Whitfield's in the same camp as me, and actually I think you are as well, Mark. That we generally, I know Milo does closet do GBL, but we all had really low levels going into this. So the fact that you're going into the event towards the end of a season, you're basically facing the noobs or the people that don't really care.
Fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point.
You are. You're in the lower ranks. And this is sort of the perfect day if you're at that point in leveling up, is to get the rank 10 to get to level 50. This is super easy because you can just do that by losing.
You don't need to win. You'll level up just by losing.
Yeah, you can get to rank 9 by losing and doing what I did with 10 CP Pokemon. And then the final set, if you win 2 or 3 out of the 5, you can get to rank 10 super easily. But there's a reason it's called Glitch Battle League.
I thought it was called Baguettes Lads.
Glitch Baguettes Lads.
Glitched baguettes, lads.
Anyway, we'll glitch into this. Let's talk about the research day that, well, it went on yesterday, if you're listening to this when the episode drops, the Flock Together Research Day.
Excuse me.
Flock off, Milo.
Flock yourself, Ian.
I said flock.
Yeah, flock.
Love it, Ian. Yeah, flock you, Milo.
I was thinking the same thing.
So it's a research day that we talked about last week when we did the month drop. We figured it was going to be something like this. And boys, I just want to spend a couple of minutes. It's happened already, but at the point of recording, we haven't played it yet. But this featured Pokemon, which, don't get too excited, Spearow, Doduo, Hoothoot, Tailo and Rufflet. They're the event-themed field research encounters by spinning the photo discs yesterday. And the wild encounters of Pidgey, Murkrow, Wingull, Starly, Pidov, and Fletchling. So what are our thoughts on this on paper? I mean, if you were really into it, you could have bought timed research, which again would have given encounters with Spearow, Doduo, Hoothoot, Tailo, and Rufflet. So no Pidgey by the looks of it in the timed research.
Boo.
Boo. Boo to Pidgey.
So what do we think?
So I know we're taking the mickey out of it being flocked together and it's flying type bird Pokemon. And in the game, some of them have got Baguette's Lad's reference usability, and most of them are not particularly usable in actual gameplay in terms of raids or whatever. But as we've said before, research days themselves are some of the best events that the game puts on. And I'd say they are pretty inclusive, particularly with that paid research, because if we look back to the beginning of this season, we had the charged up research day, and that time research gives you, the first page will give you one of every
thing,
you pick the branch thing, and then you get was like a further 10 encounters with the one that you choose. And we'll see predictions wise what we go for. I'm picking Doduo because it's the only shiny out of all of those featured that I don't have completed family
of those featured mons. Firstly, I will say I think Niantic dropped the ball because Pidgey should have been in the time to research 100%.
I agree, to be honest,
because a lot of people are still struggling to get that shiny. I've only ever encountered one myself outside of trades. Now, of that list, I'm in the same boat as you. Ruffler, I actually did fairly well at Go Fest in Seattle.
Go Fest, yeah.
Talo, I've got a handful of. Hoot Hoot, it's been in a lot of events with hats and without
hats. New
Year's
events.
I think Doduo would have to be my go-to as well, even though
we're getting it in New York.
But yeah, of those, Doduo would have to be my go-to as well. Marky?
Yeah, I looked at it, and I need a couple of Doduos. I've got three shiny Doduos, but they're all the same gender.
Yeah, that's it. You need the male-female split, don't you?
Absolutely. So I am going to be hunting a few Doduos down. I actually need another Ruffler as well. So there is actually something to go there, and I think I did joke about saying, oh, it's going to be... Wingull. So I say Wingull. I said,
which is a wild encounter. You weren't wrong.
I think I said Flitchling.
And you weren't wrong either. And I said Pidgey, and I wasn't wrong. But only... if only they'd been in the timed research.
I mean, the thing is, we know that the wild encounters for these events do have a bit of a shiny boost on them, but they're nowhere near as boosted as the field research tasks. And we know also that the field research tasks are going to be in all manner of things. There's going to be the nice throws, great throws. They'll be battling a gym, use a super effective charge attack, and God knows what. And it's just a case of do as many as you can, because they're randomized encounters. So just take your pick and go for it. My thoughts on this thinking forward is that we've now had two typed theme research days. We've had electric and now we've had flying types, and there's another 16 typings they could go through easily, and that will last them however many years. And if you remember last year, we had the going for gold research day with gold.
Great one. That was a great one.
That was a really good one. So they can
Matthew,
pick...
no, Matthew who was Kelly. It did that? It was Matthew Kelly.
Oh, no, it was Henry Kelly.
We're not putting him in the title.
Henry Kelly.
We're not putting him in the title.
going for gold.
But you can have coloured.
That was a Eurovision show.
Research days.
The pressure's on. The time is.
I will get this point out eventually.
It's time for you to play your game.
But I think we said this last year when we had the review episode. It's like you could pick, you know, black shiny Pokemon to be featured and that sort of thing. So there's endless scope with a research day like this, and the more that they bring, if they do two a season, it's great. I'm all down for it. I just hope I manage to get the Doduo bits and pieces done. What do you guys think?
I love these events. When I saw it originally, I went, oh, flock together. And then I looked at it properly and took my uneducated eyes away from it and really looked at it properly, unfiltered eyes, I should say. I was like, actually, I do need some bits of this. I do love it. I'm going to play it a bit. I get caught up in the moment with these. Again, I speak for us all as creators. These are great events to create content around. A bit like Hatch Days. It's quite simple. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. It's the chance of the randomised draw. And that's good fun. I'd be gutted if I don't get another
Doduo.
Doduo, absolutely. But I do like the boost on the researchers. And again, you know, it's one of those things, you go out, find new places, spin new Pokestops. Can't really argue with that, can you?
No, and I agree. Looking at the list, I am a little underwhelmed by the roster of mons that are available on this one. I think it could have been stronger. And looking at the wild encounters, at least two of those have had community days in Starly and Fletchley.
True.
So, you know they're the ones that you're going to get the shinies of out of all of them. But Murkrow was, I think, was that an April Fool's event?
I think it was April Fool's.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Was it 2018?
Yeah, and of course, Wingull was a release for
Safari Zone 2018, I think, as well.
They boosted them, didn't they? The shiners on those as well.
They used to boost them for that weekend for the events, didn't they? When people were at these GoFest Safari Town events when they released something new. Doesn't happen now, of course. From the Wild Encounters, Pidgey will be my chase, genuinely. I don't need any of the others. And it's a case of you get what you get. And I have seen people with these research days go through the branch research and not get a single shiny.
Hello, Joltik, a couple of months ago. It can happen. Yeah. You can pick your branched path and get nothing.
So nothing's a guarantee in this game. No one is entitled to anything. But yeah, it'll be a fun few hours. Certainly the Pidgey chase will be real for me. And Doduo. Hoping for another male and another female, because I think I have one of each currently. So we've not played it yet, but by the time people are listening to it, we will have done. This is a tough one, but on paper, where do we think our scores sit for this one?
See, that's a good question. Like, looking at it on paper and knowing what research days are like, it should really be a 7 from me, but you've also got to factor in the quality of the Pokemon feature for the event, because that can make or break things like a community day.
Absolutely.
Which we may get onto a bit later in the show. But flying type Pokemon are always a little bit really. Mm. And this is kind of just getting it out of the way. So I will bring it down to a 6 out of 10.
Just
initially.
Wait, we'll have bug type at some point.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's not. Yeah, 6 out of 10 from me, I think, for this one initially.
I need something from it. I love the concept. You can dip in and out of it. I am going to give it a 7. A 7! Because it's not the worst typing in the game. There are others that are worse than this. Not many, granted, but...
A bug?
A bug. A 7. Purely for the fact I actually need quite a bit from it. And that surprises me. Rufflet is the chase for me. And I'll be... If there's a branch of Rufflets, I'm going to be going down that line.
Good luck.
Yeah, and I'll round this out. And I think it's only fair we actually review this next week. We've played it, see if our scores have changed. But I'm kind of very on the fence with this one. It could be good when you're actually immersed in the event, but on paper, it's not looking stellar. So I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give it a 6, and then we can review next week. I'm hoping it's better than it looks, because I am a little underwhelmed by the pool of Pokemon that are announced.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, something that isn't as disappointing as the pool of Pokemon announced for the Flock event. Flock, I love that word. Such a good word, isn't it? Flock. Is what we're going to cover in the news.
Is the news.
This is actually going to be part one of the news. We do have a second part coming with some breaking news. We have had more news about the Catching Wonders event, and with it, it brings Masterwork Research and the third Master Ball. The Catching Wonders event will be taking place on Tuesday, May the 14th, starting at 10 a.m. and finishing on Sunday, May the 19th at 8 p.m. local time. And the event bonuses are as follows. We're going to have 10 times XP awarded for your first catch of the day, and 10 times XP awarded for your first Pokestop or gym spin of the day. And then you will also get 10 times... No, they're not going to give us that amount. I'm going to halve it for this one. Still pretty decent, to be fair. 5 times Stardust awarded for your first catch of the day. It'd be interesting if anyone gets a 7-day streak falling in
on Rordino.
That'd be nice.
Would potentially be nice. Send your screenshots in, and the best one might get featured next
hashtag
week.
Hashtag Shams of the Week.
Hashtag Shams of the Week.
Hashtag Stardust of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong podcast.
Now, as Mark's just alluded to, the Master Ball is finally, after a little bit of a hiatus, coming back. As somebody that currently has 2 sets in my storage, I will be excited to get my third Master Ball. And the Master Ball will come to us care of some Masterwork Research, codenamed Catching Wonders. Now, this event is bringing you a free Masterwork Research, so you don't have to pay for it, and it's not timed as last time's was. So once this is in your stack of research, you can work through it at your own pace to claim said Master Ball as one of the rewards. Additional rewards for the research will be Stardust, XP, berries, and encounters with Pokemon and more. Now, the masterwork research is intended to be completed over a long period of time, so the likes of Whitfield, Barrow, and myself will not be able to smash it all out in one video on day one of the event drop. Milo's like, oh, you watch me.
You watch me, Vassafal.
I'll break the laws of physics to make this happen. No, expect some time gates on that one. Be honest.
I would think so, yes.
And to be honest, that's not really going to be much of a concern because the rest of this event is quite minimal. We have field research task encounters, and the field research task encounters could earn you Stardust, XP, Pokeballs, Great Balls, and Ultra Balls. And then they say, the Pokemon Go web store, go and check it out. To stock up on essentials to prepare for the masterwork research. And that is it.
Do you know what I would say to prepare for the masterwork research? Just go and spin some stubs.
Yeah.
The one thing I took from that is that Ian's got his hands on two of his balls. Sorry, he's got two master balls.
I've got two purple balls.
I too have a pair of purple balls.
Well, I've only got one. I've lost one.
You will have to be back up to a pair very soon.
Be back up to a pair, boys.
A serious point, though, as Vassa mentioned, it's been a while. It's been a bit overdue. I think a couple of weeks ago, one of us made mention that the Master Ball had been away for quite a while. We were expecting one a season, almost, and then it sort of disappeared.
I think that's what we said, actually, when we was with GoCast, and then they did two Master Balls over two seasons. I think, has it now been one quarter or even
I think it's been two seasons since we last had one, so it went on a bit of a hiatus and now has come back.
But we did say two a year when we actually did our show, if you remember.
Yeah, I think so. So that might, be what they're going for on this one. One thing for me, and I find it quite funny, is that it's called Catching Wonders and it was labeled as an event, but it doesn't say there's anything to catch.
No, I'm hoping they're just vanilla spawns because there are no spawns listed.
Mm.
And it doesn't specifically overlap other events. Well, it'll overlap the community day.
Yeah.
But doesn't seem to overlap anything else that I can see, so...
Nest grind, people, if you fancy it.
Vanilla spawns are good, to be fair, though, aren't they? I do like that reset. What I'd love them to do on an event like this is, like, not announce it, but just drop shiny Galarian birds into the game. Imagine!
Roar of Time!
That's what I mean. Like, with Galarian birds...
Roar of Time doesn't always work, though. I didn't see a single one the other day, and I had Roar of Time now for nearly 2 hours.
Mm. But this is the thing, Ian, like, when they drop the Galarian birds. No one announced it, did they? Dropped in the game randomly.
It was secretive,
imagine that, if it just dropped the sparklers in there and, like, you see a little sparkle, but you have to use the master ball and that's the glitch on it.
You're right. It does give that hope or potential that something else might be hidden in that time frame of that event that could drop. I quite like that.
Oh,
I hope.
Shiny Galarian Articuno. Oh,
they're good. They're all good shinies.
They are.
They all revert back to their Kanto color palettes as shinies.
Ian likes his big bird. He'll have his Zapdos.
I do. And you know what? Speaking of big birds, well, a couple of months ago, Whitfield and myself went and got Howlucha from San Diego.
That's
literally just north of Mexico. Now, I say that purely because if you are in that area of the world, Pokemon Go has launched an event specially for you. And it's simply called a new LATAM adventure. Now, this runs from May the 5th, so it's already running.
Revenge of the 5th, you mean?
Revenge of the 5th,
yes. Right through to Saturday, June the 15th. Yes, that's right, Saturday, June the 15th. This is a long one. And what you can get in this event, if you're in the Latin American area, you'll get field research that will be able to reward you Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle. And you know what? If you're lucky, you might even get a shiny one.
Oh, wow.
My life! Also, oh, wow.
Also, certain field research task encounters will reward Mega Energy for Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoise.
I wish they'd say, Ian, I'd rather they say, if you're lucky, you might get a good one. That'd be fair, wouldn't it, when you look at that?
Yeah. Now, it does get a little tastier, and it does say special timed research that will last until June the 15th at 8 p.m. local time. Trainers will be able to complete special timed research that will award items such as a star piece, a super incubator, and rare candy, as well as encounters with Lapras and Snorlax that, as we know, both can be shiny. Now, there are event bonuses. Trainers in Latin America look forward to earn double the hearts when adventuring with your buddy. Pretty cool. Double incense duration. Yes, two times incense duration. And chance of a daily surprise encounter when taking snapshots. This is actually quite in depth. It just keeps going on. There will be weekend rewards during the event. To help new trainers in Latin America, a special time research will be available every weekend from May the 5th at 2 p.m. PDT to June the 15th, 2024, 8 p.m. local time. Trainers who complete this timed research every weekend will be rewarded with items like, hold on to your hats, boys, raspberries, nana berries,
wow,
pineapps, incense, okay.
Yeah, fine.
Pokeballs and great balls. And it is timed research, so if you don't complete it, you will lose it. So
make sure
you're completing your timed research to claim all of those raspberries.
No. So, Ian, am I right in thinking PDT is... That sounds pretty damn tedious, doesn't it? Am I right?
It is pretty damn tedious. It really is. But I'm guessing it's not going to be difficult. I would hope it's not for those rewards anyway. There will be limited time boxes available in Latin America by logging into the store. There will be a special box with a purchase limit of one for the special box. And it includes items such as a Pokemon storage upgrade, an incense, five Pokeballs, five Great Balls, five Ultra Balls, one Lure Module, one Star Piece, and 10 Papel Picado stickers.
Oh, stickers.
And there will be an event box with a purchase limit of three that, again, runs from the 5th of May to the 15th of June that will give you two incense, five Pokeballs, five Great Balls, five Ultra Balls, one Lure Module, and 10 Papel Picado stickers. But, boys, what do you think? I mean, it is exclusive to people in Latin America, but for new players, it actually looks pretty good, I think.
Well, I mean, not the fact that we've had a Kanto event running for God knows how long already, but it's like a little mini return to Kanto thing. But I do like the fact that they're doing an event to celebrate the launch of Latin American Spanish language support in Pokemon Go. And that's really good to, you know, mark quite a significant change for a large proportion of the community. Give them a little event, well, not a little event, really. It runs for 5 weeks, basically, doesn't it?
It's a long event. And Sue, Hermes Ninja, has put in the chat that although it is a Latin American exclusive, people in southern Texas also get it. So basically, if you right around that sort of perimeter area in the south of the states, you might also be able to get
it. So it might be in, like, they've gone, right, where's the Jolucha regional box?
Yeah, and use it as a place
the event in
so
there.
Chula Vista all the way across.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the bonuses look really interesting. Honestly, a little mini event like that for a community of players, fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the only thing I'd take more of that in is what an amazing segue into that section. I wonder where you were going with that with Big Birds, mate. So very well done, Ian.
Whitfield and myself, we're partial to a Mexican bird, aren't we?
We did
mate?
Get an XXL one. So.
Yeah.
Partial to a Mexican bird.
I was looking for the XXS.
Of course.
Oh, dear. Who's that in my pub?
Someone hijacked your bar.
There is somebody behind there. Who is it?
It's mine now, my pub.
Is that?
You've been evicted, Mark.
Is that a high bone in my dog inn?
You've been evicted.
Wow.
Get out of my pub.
How did you break into the dog inn?
I'll not answer that.
You've got us here. What are you going to do with us?
Well, I've got a quiz for you.
Hey!
It's family friendly. Nice. That's good.
It's family friendly.
Well, if you had a quiz for us, man, away you go.
So I thought, you know, you lot, Ian, you get let off, but the rest on you, you're all southerners. And you know, well, you know, yes, all us northerners, we're a bit patriotic.
I'd say
potato, potato.
Patriotic towards us northerners. Okay, so first question. Which of the following towns/cities is the furthest north? So A is Penrith, B is Durham, and C is Hartlepool. Seen a lot of perplexed faces.
I know, and I should know this because my job is geography.
I'm going to jump straight in then, Hyde, but I'm going to give my answer first. I should know this, but I don't know it. And I think I'm going to be wrong, but I'm going to go Durham, which I think was B.
I don't have the faintest clue. Sat down here in West London. I will just pick C. I don't know.
And I would add a fourth answer, which is D, which is Berwick-upon-Tweed, and I'll go with that one, please.
Can't just whip out a Google Maps here.
You can't just whip out the most northern English town.
That plays in the Scottish Football League.
Exactly. It's the most northern town in the UK. Or in England, I should say. The most northern town in England. So, I don't believe it's Durham. Oh, I'm going to regret this. I'm going to go Hartlepool.
Same as Milo.
Milo doesn't know what he went for. He just said C.
I was going to mention that.
Milo.
Thank you for clearing up my answer here.
He's now remembered what he said. All right, so question two. How many Greg's restaurants are there in Newcastle?
Oh,
this is one for Newcombs.
Yeah, Newcombs. Do you want to dial in, mate?
A, 18. B, 20. Or C, 24.
I want to pick the most out of those options. I'll go for C.
I want to pick the most
as well.
Just go for
the biggest number.
C.
Well, it ain't going to be the lowest number. I'm going to go C as well with 24.
Geordies would be proud.
Newcombs, yeah, please select it if we're
right. All right, so number three. What year did Preston gain city status? Is it A, 2002, B, 2005, or C, 2009?
Those are quite recent, jeez.
Preston in Lancashire.
I didn't even know Preston was a city. I just
No, I've driven past it, but I'll go for B. I'll pick 2005.
Right, well, I was going to go for that, but I can't
keep copying my
answers. The same answers as you all the way through. So I'm going to go 2002, purely because Die Another Day was released.
That was their marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like Preston. Preston's a horrible place.
Have you ever been?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit like Burnley as well. On that side of the country, some weird places. Weird places.
North Milo.
North Milo.
Yeah. Don't go there.
But I think 2009 is too late. And I knew it was a city, but I didn't realise. It's been a city for quite a while, actually, Preston has. But I'm torn between Milo and Ian. Not for the first time in my life, to be fair.
Ooh la la.
I'm going to go earlier. I'm going to join you, Ian. 2002, I think.
Right, so question four. What is the name of Sunderland AFC's stadium? Is it A, St James's Park, B, Stadium of Light, or C, Graves Park?
Football and North. Two things I don't know anything about. So I'll pick A for it, just because I haven't picked A so far.
A for St James's Park.
Oh, sure.
Dear God.
Oh! Even I know that's not right.
Whitfield!
What, and you know your football stadiums, Ian?
I'm with Whitfield here. I have no idea when it comes to football. But one thing I do know, Whitfield... Is it's
He's
not
going, they're going to find him.
Is that your park?
They're going to hunt,
they're gonna
you,
gonna
down,
hunt you down, man.
Who's they?
Yes.
The Newcastle United fans.
How do you... Ian, you're saying you don't know anything about football. How do you know that?
I don't, but I know that much. Damn. It's like calling somebody from Newcastle saying they're from Sunderland.
Call someone from Sunderland a Geordie, they
it's
will have
It's all northern to me.
So...
Sorry, people, but I know nothing about football.
Milo, you are going... to hell for saying St James's Park. Newcastle United,
mate.
Well, how am I supposed to know that?
I'll hunt you down from those north.
You're going to say, what stadium did Egypt play at? I don't know.
So listeners, if you want to find Milo, yeah. Who lives at...
Not St James's
come
up, Park.
Come at me with your football t-shirts, go on.
It sounds pretty cool, you know, Stadium of Light. So I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to go with that one. I'm going to go for... Stadium
sounds
of Light.
Like a festival.
It does. At least I'm not insulting.
What you said,
like,
by the equivalent of someone saying that someone from Ealing is from Croydon. You know, I'm just putting it out there. It's that sort of equivalent.
Ooh,
there.
You could tell that hit close to home.
That did hit close to home.
Yeah, okay.
It was relatable.
I stand corrected, but it's football related, so I'm allowed.
Or like saying somebody from Yeah. Bristol's from Bath.
But if it's football related.
Ian, he's gone, he's gone politician now. He's just going to keep saying the same answer. It's football related.
It's football related.
I agree with Ian. It is definitely B, Stadium of Light.
You know your football then, Mark.
Who are, mate? Who are? Right,
question five. The county of Northumberland shares its longest land border with what other English county? Is it A, Tyne and Wear, B, County Durham, or C, Cumbria? I noticed I just said land border as if it's international.
I guess you mean inland, obviously, yeah. Not coastline. That would be daft.
The North Sea.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I'm going to go first this time to give the boys an answer to stay away from. I'm going to go C, Cumbria, only because it starts with the same letter as the answer. I'm being lazy. C for Cumbria.
Well, I was going to be lazy and pick C as well.
Do it.
I'll pick C, sure.
I've got to go Cumbria as well. My geographical knowledge is sorely in the spotlight here, and I've got no idea. I'm just going to go copy the boys, and we can all get it wrong together.
We all fail together. Bom, bom.
On the Incense Podcast. Lovely quiz. We'll say, well done, Highbone. You've pulled out all the stops.
It was a very northern quiz, I've got to say.
It's a themed quiz, which I have to respect.
I've got respect to theme.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right, so answers. Question one was, which of the following towns/cities is the furthest north? The answer was B, Durham.
Ooh, well done.
Point for Marky.
Question two. How many Greg's restaurants are there in Newcastle? Surprisingly, none of you got this right. It's 18.
Oh, damn.
The lowest number.
None of you get a point for that one. So question three was, in which year did Preston gain city status? Ian and Mark, you hit the nail on the head. 2002.
Not another day. Seriously. Any film with a Bond, any year a Bond film's released, worth naming.
Should have known. Question four was, what's the name of Sunderland AFC Stadium?
Yeah, here we go.
And what is it, Milo?
What was it, Milo?
It was D, Flock Off.
Flock Off.
The answer is, Stadium of Light.
I kind of knew.
Should have known. Two, right? Anyway.
St. James's Park, obviously, that's the Geordies. And Graves Park isn't actually a stadium. It's a park in Sheffield.
It's a curveball, Milo. It's a curveball.
Maybe a Pokemon Go spot.
It was, actually. Graves Park is an amazing park. Question five was, County of Northumberland shares its longest border with which other English county? Well, you all got it right. It's Cumbria.
Thank God I got a point.
So the Lake District. Which, according to Google Maps, closes at 5 p.m. on a weekday.
Close on weekdays as well.
Which, I don't know how they can close a whole national park, but I do really want to ask the tiebreaker just for a laugh.
Do it.
This was actually the first question I thought of when I thought, I'll do a Northerner-based quiz. You should all be aware of the statue of the Angel of the North. Probably dig out a picture of me stood next to it many years ago.
It's in Sheffield, right?
That's
called Park Hill Flat.
It's in St. James's Park.
Oh, Milo, very good. Very good.
I think it's in County Durham. So the Angel of the North, I want to know the wingspan of the statue in metres.
Diameters?
Diameters. The wingspan of the Angel of the North to the closest metre.
I want to give some flawed logic to this. So like, if you take like the 100-metre track and you lay it down in a long line, that seems quite long. Those wings ain't going to be that long. But then again, I say that. They probably are. Bloody hell. That sounded so cool. Anyway, overall width, I'm going to say 150 metres.
I have no idea in terms of reference or scale. I don't think I've ever seen it IRL.
If we name it Angel of the South, would that help you sort of...
No, because you'd have to move it. You get a big crane, tow it down the M1. I'm gonna go a bit lower than Marky. I'll go for 75-metre wingspan.
75, all right.
Slap bang in the middle.
That's what I'm thinking, actually. The number that immediately came to my head, and for no real reason, other than its round number was 100 metres. So I'm just going to go smack bang, well, not smack bang in the middle, but pretty much in the middle with 100 metres.
100 metres, well, Milo, you were the closest. The Angel of the North has a wingspan of 54 metres.
Oh, there we go.
It's not that impressive, then, is it, Ian? Not that impressive, is
not
it?
No, it's not that impressive at all. Impressive. The Angel of the South's a lot bigger. Yeah.
Which is 177 feet.
Hang on, the Angel of the South Broadway. Whitfield, isn't it?
There we go.
Hey, Ian, he does look like the Angel of...
Well, just put your arms out.
I love
Angel of the South. I'll change my YouTube name.
Send me that T-shirt on today. Same colour.
Like Milo just gives us that face here, and he's like, "You two, shut up,
flock off."
But the question is, did we need the tiebreaker? Because that might have counted for nothing.
I don't think so.
So, in third place, we have Mr. Angel of the South himself.
He's an angel.
With
1 point.
If you don't count the tiebreaker, 1 point.
Yeah. 1 point's fine.
Second place, we have Mr. Midlander himself, Ian, with 3 points.
Ooh, three. I'll take three.
Taking the crown and the keys to the pub back is Mark with 4.
4 out of 5.
GG, Barrow.
A northerner Barrow in spirit. Oh.
But do you want to know the truth, Highbone? I'm going to say something now. Mark was probably about to say this himself, but Mark's the most northern of the three of us.
Can we get the shocked sound effect?
And that's why, Highbone, I tricked you. You see, by getting you to host the pub quiz, well, you couldn't win it. So get out my pub, give me my keys back.
Have the keys back.
I won't see you here again unless you're taking part in it next time.
You're barred. You're barred.
You've got your portrait barred behind the bar.
Oh,
he's gone.
Ow. Me the Facebook door.
As I got the pub back, we might as well sit in here and finish the rest of the show off now, shouldn't we? Be rude of us.
Can
to
I have a drink? Because I lost so badly.
Well, you did.
You're going to need one when those northerners come after you, mate.
No, they won't come down this far. It's fine.
Yeah, but my pub, the Dog Inn, is in Yorkshire, Milo, for the purpose of this recording.
Oh, God. See you later.
Well, that's no good with the Geordies.
No, he's closer. That was fun. But something that isn't fun at the moment in the game, I want to have a little bit of a chat about this. It's the recent sort of, I mean, they've always been in the game. It seems that they're more prominent now, certainly in ticketed events, research tasks in the game. And what I'm talking about is the good old-fashioned power-upper Pokemon. I wouldn't normally make a big, not even necessarily a big deal about it. I didn't feel like it needs to be brought to any attention. But just recently in the game, you know, we've had these before. We've joked about them. You know, you do community days. Sometimes you get the power-up Pokemon task. You pick your lower CP ones, Ian, don't we? Unless you want
to... Oh, I'm a 10 CP person, yeah.
Unless you want to power up something that you're working on. The game seems to be at the moment, and I'm going to give a couple of examples before we chat a bit more about it, is these powering up Pokemon tasks. I kind of have less of an issue with like special researches because they can sit in there forever long that you've got on there. And
you can stack them and, yeah.
The one that made my eyes water a little bit at the moment is on the Glitz and Glam 4 of 6, where you've got a power Pokemon 25 times.
Spoilers.
Oh, sorry. If you haven't got there yet... Spoilers. In fact, please close your ears. But you do get a good reward, but I'm not going to ruin that for you. The Wonder Ticket is a bit more forgiving. It's timed, but you have got over a calendar month still in the game, certainly on the second page. It's the Rivals Week one that really, really stuck a bit in my throat.
I think I know where you're going, yeah.
Okay, we can play it like we've just said, you know, the 10 CP game. You know, you might have seen, but Rivals Week... It's slam bang there with a day and a bit left to record. It's gone by the time you're listening to this. Power up 15 fighting type Pokemon. It's almost forcing it to happen very quickly. And then, guys, is it just me? Is this just coincidental these have all aligned in this way? Or do we think that the game is forcing us to spend Stardust all of a sudden on this?
I think it is.
Yeah.
There's been an awful lot of Stardust events where they're giving a ton of Stardust away. But equally, to counter that, there's been a lot of power-up tasks in events as well, causing you to spend it. So I think it's definitely a conscious decision that these are a thing, and that's why I don't take part in it, and that's why I will always power up I'll save my 10 CP mons, a few, and I will get around the power-up tasks with those 10 CP mons, because, yes, powering up a mon that you want, that's useful, that's relevant in the meta, is good. If it's got a good moveset or is just genuinely quite powerful. But I am not going to bow down to Niantic when they just make you do it for research. So, for me, 10 CP mons. You can't argue that fact, surely.
I would.
Of course you would.
Of course he would.
Because Stardust is a resource that you've got to collect, be it in a small amount or in a large amount over an event with triple or quadruple catch dust or whatever it is. Or if it's hatching 12 12s and getting a bunch of dust in one go. It's something you have to earn. How you feel about that is entirely down to the player. But there was a research recently, and it honestly slips my mind, because I find power up a Pokemon research tasks, or just tasks in general, incredibly forgettable, but they linger in there like a bad memory. So I tend to power up stuff that is a hundo that I'm actually working on, because it then feels like it's worth it. But there was a research recently where every stage there was an increasing amount of times you had to power something up, and I honestly can't remember the name of it right now, but it was like power up 10, power up 10, 15, 20, 20, and it just kept going. Every stage had power up something. There's something to be said for if it's one stage of the research, like the community day tickets, because comm days, it's likely you're going to power up something decent 10 times, get it done quickly if you want to. Field research tasks, you can delete those if you really don't want to do them, or find three, stack them, and you get three done in one section of power ups. But that research where it's every stage, you can't stack it, and you could end up burning like unnecessary amount of Stardust. I personally think it's a lazy solution to think of a research task to do. There's loads of aspects of the game. Why just say power up Pokemon? There you go, power up. Power up a fighting type.
But
it's
from
easy
that
to do.
Task, you're saying you'd always power up a Hundo. You wouldn't. Power
I would
up something
do.
It's going to be really cheap, so you're not wasting dust.
I would do, because I'm of the mind that I'll collect Stardust to put into things I'm going to use, even if it's something that's, you know, just a joke Hundo. So I'll always put it into something I will eventually put to level 50. I can't bring myself to say, oh, here's a level 1 shiny. I mean, I like to keep my level 1 shinies, but for example, Community Day, I wouldn't catch a level 1 of the Community Day Pokemon and power that up 10 times. It just feels like an unnecessary waste to me,
but
even though it's only like
2,000 dust. Mm. I'd put 2,000 dust in a 10 CP shiny to power it, what, 10 times or whatever, and then bin it because you've only lost 2,000 dust.
I'd rather burn a bit more dust knowing that that Pokemon's going to use somewhere, but that's kind of besides the point, really. Is I agree. It doesn't infuse... Let's say, he doesn't say like, oh, I need to get three excellence in a row. That's a reasonably difficult research task unless you're doing a legendary.
Powering a Pokemon up, it isn't a skill-based task.
It's not skilled.
It's
just
a get-through-it task.
Do you have the resource to do this? Yeah. And after a while, I mean, I think it's this Rivals Week has power-up Pokemon tasks just everywhere. Oh. Power-up Pokemon 10 times.
Seriously, yeah.
Let me check. I've got a research task here. They give you a random encounter. It could be a Alolan Sandshrew like I've just collected. Power up a Pokemon 10 times for a lone Sandshrew that's in the wild. No thanks.
It's not worth it. But on timed research, like Mark said, you don't have a choice. We're not talking field research. On timed research, you've got to do it to progress.
Yeah, exactly.
It just feels, like, I think like you said, I think it feels a bit lazy. You also need to do 3 raids in like less than 4 days. I'm not being funny. That is passable with your 3 remote pass. We know that. We joked about the 1-star raids. That would be your reason to use them. Complete that part of the time research. I get that, but I'm a bit like Ian, I think, with it, Milo. I do like the idea of powering up Shundos, Hundos. I do like that, and I do that anyway. But
I do it.
I'd rather keep the Stardust and do something with that at a later point and try and do something a bit fun with that than forcibly spending it. And I think the 10 CP thing is a godsend, actually, because I don't delete Community Day shinies, or rarely. I've got loads of 10 CP shinies. I just kind of leave them in there for those very reasons, because it's probably more reason to delete it when it becomes a 78 CP rubbish Community Day shiny than a 10 CP Community Day shiny. But I think we all agree that they are more prevalent now, aren't they, in the game? That they seem to be...
It's interesting talking about the power of Pokemon tasks and that sort of thing, because that, as we mentioned, has been featured in Rivals Week. And Rivals Week, by the time you listen to this show, will have concluded. Let's just have a little quick chat about our thoughts regarding this event. We read it out, what was it, last week? And we saw it was going to feature a bunch of rivals that are sort of regional pairs from different generations. And there's a selection of spawns and some level one raids. I don't know. From my standpoint, it's been a mildly forgettable event, really.
Polite, I think.
Yeah. That. at the moment, I'm sort of looking for, it's like the only thing I'm going to be interested in is tomorrow for us recording it now would be when Heatmore and Durant pop in. But I don't know, the regionals that are featured, or should I say the rivals that are featured, don't seem to be that common, so you have to chase them in the raids. And you think, me personally, I can't even bring myself to burn a daily pass on a Zangoose, no thanks. And the wild spawns, there's some okay things, it's Ralts and Machop to get some XL candy, but yeah, quite a forgettable event from my viewpoint. What about you, Ian?
Totally agree. There was the promise of these regionals, these rivals as they're called for this event, being wild spawns, and don't get me wrong, they are, just not in decent, plentiful numbers. They're very rare, unless you do the raids, and you've got to be very lucky to, firstly, find one, and secondly, to get a shiny. Yes, they're boosted shinies, but a boosted shiny is really not that boost if you're struggling to find them on in the first place. I'm not going to waste raid passes on these mons, he says hypocritically, after having an Australian coerce him into raiding a Survivor at the weekend. But that was a free pass. I wouldn't put a paid pass into it. And the title says it perfectly. Rivals Week.
Week, because it is like a week we did with event. Sustainability Week.
Yes, it's a week event.
Very good, Ian. I like that. I haven't really played it. I've spent
Coops.
I spent more time doing GBL. Oh God, I sound more like him now, don't I?
Oh my goodness!
Right, I'll be honest with you. If I needed something from the event, I'd have probably hit that at those day windows, 2 days windows where they did boost the spawns of the rivals. You're right. The spawns have been pretty
they
rubbish.
Didn't really boost them. If they were boosted, then oh God help us.
Yeah, Survivor seems to be a rarity. I've only seen one Survivor in the wild. I like seeing regionals that shouldn't be here. It's quite nice. There's a lot of love for Zangoose and Survivor, actually, from the players. They do like that rivalry. You know, Throw and Sork, you know, we've had them at a few events now, but I get it for newer players that might not have seen them. Brilliant. Boosted Shine as well. They need to spawn first to take advantage of it, like Ian's just said. There wasn't enough of them. I've been really poor. I like the idea of boosting them on certain days, but executed as always. Not as always, that's a bit harsh, but in this event, not being executed very well. But Heatmore Durant, I think they'll be the most sought-after shinies, potentially. And maybe for the candies, if people got decent ones, they want to pile them up. You know, they're in that game. You know, that's a great chance to get some good Heatmore Durant. But again, it's the shortest window out of all of them. And people have known this, obviously, by the time that we're talking about it. And there are probably not going to be many of them out there, if any. So it promised a lot, didn't it? But I don't think it's delivered that knockout punch, has it, really?
And I don't know about you guys, but it feels like, I mean, we've got this Rediscover Kanto thing still going on. So that's sort of bleeding over
it. Yeah.
Any event that's happening at the current time.
Yeah.
And we have a certain disdain for Kanto events.
It's been done to death. Let's be honest. Yes, there is still stuff that can be mined from Kanto, but it has been done to death over the last 8 years.
But it's that thing. We've had this before with the likes of Mareep Community Day back in 2018, when a Kanto event seems to be overrunning any other event. And if you've already got an event that's kind of weak on paper, then it's made even weaker by being diluted with the Kanto event. You're like, well, there's not really much point playing.
Exactly. Do we want to give it a score? I think it's only fair, isn't it?
Yeah, the event's ended. So Rivals Week, it's a tough one. I've got to give this, I'll give it a 3 out of 10. To be honest, I know it's quite harsh.
No, I think that's fair, actually, dude.
Oh my goodness.
I can't really give it a high score either. I'm going to stick with the score that I actually gave earlier in the show. I'm going to give it a 4. I can't bring myself to give it anything better. There was potential, but it was wasted potential with the way it's been executed.
And Marky,
I'm probably going to give it a 4 as well. I don't. It's not an awful event in theory, even what was on paper, but it hasn't been executed in any way like that. And there will be some people that got lucky to get the shinies of the rare regionals. For them, well done. You've done well to get that. But yeah, for me, four.
It is. It's the news.
Yes, and the news part two is, we'll keep it quite sweet. It's next weekend, Mays Community Day 2020.
Nicely done. That was well done.
Yeah, short and sweet, yeah. Yeah, Mays Community Day was literally announced halfway through tonight's recording, which seriously hasn't gone on for nearly 3 hours. Anyway, I digress. Bounsweet will be the featured Pokemon during May's Community Day. May 19th, it'll run from between 2 and 5pm, your local time. And the featured attack will be High Jump Kick. So evolving Steenie, Bounsweet's evolution, during the event or up to 5 hours afterwards to get a Serena that knows the charge attack, High Jump Kick. I don't know if it's a good one. It's probably going to be PvP related. I have no idea. But one thing I do know is that there will be special research available for $1, which will give you the usual jazz. And event bonuses for this one, you're going to get 2x candy for catching Pokemon, quarter egg hatch distance when eggs are placed within incubators during the event, 2x chance for trainers level 31 and above to receive candy XL from catching mons, low modules and incenses. Excluding daily adventure incense activated during the event will last for 3 hours. Taking a few snapshots will give you a community day surprise.
Five surprises.
And
one for Whitfield. One additional special trade can be made for a maximum of 2 for the day. And those trades will require 50% less Stardust. After community day ends, there will be those raid battles appearing between 5 and 10pm, which will give you bonus spawns within, I think, 300 metres around the Pokestop. And, yeah, field research, showcases and bundles available in the shop. But more importantly, the most important feature of this community day, stickers.
Nice. That'll be good.
Lovely. Bounsweet, then. Were we surprised by this one? I think we were, weren't we?
I wouldn't have thought that to be May Community Day.
You didn't, because I'm going on record here, live on the recording, that I was right and you were wrong.
Are you throwing that in a general thing? I mean, yeah, I know I said Popplio. A lot of people would have
thought
Popplio.
You were quite adamant it was going to be Popplio.
Hey, they put Litten in March. They set it up, but they've thrown a curveball here, and quite a sweet one, I've got to be honest.
It is.
It's a great little shiny.
Yeah.
And a three-stage shiny
family. The
whole family
is pretty sweet, actually, to be fair.
Fantastic. And I think this has been in the background of, like, it could be a Conde. It sat there, three-stager. Now it gets a little move. No idea if it's going to be good. And I'll definitely be grinding this one. You know,
and it's
first
not Kanto.
Time
I'll
game.
Take it.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes. No Kanto rubbish. Thank goodness. Brand new shiny into the game. Not rehashed. So very happy with that.
It was bound to happen, wasn't it? It wasn't bound to happen.
And it's sweet when it did.
When I saw this, I had a smile on my face, actually, because even though Popplio would have been a new shiny, it would have been probably not the right one to get that sort of excitement around. I think this one is a bit like the Fletchling curveball. Just throw it in there a little bit. What gen is Bounsweet? Gen 7, is it?
I think it's Gen 7, because that's why they had two Canon on that little teaser video.
I like it. It's just dropping something new in it. Anything away from Kanto's a bonus.
But no, I'm quite happy for it, actually. It's something a little bit different. It came out of left field, and it's not Kanto. So I'm actually kind of... I'm happy with this one. It's a sweet little Pokemon.
Give it a couple of weeks, boys, and I'm sure we'll be seeing some of these in our favourite section of the show. We're going to go do some Shinies of the Week.
Shinies of the Week?
We've got one here from somebody, I think, Lachlan, is it? Lachlan Firth? And a big hairy Australian that says on here. Is that the one?
Big hairy Australian? Yeah, Milo knows big hairy Australian. Yeah. So do I, yeah.
Is there a coincidence?
Actually, more than a coincidence, he says, thank you, Walpole Park, for my second shiny Flebebe. Flebebe. And both have been caught in the UK. Will I complete the family before I leave? Find out soon. Haven't had to leave my accommodation for the day yet either. Or either, I should say. And yes, Lachlan has caught himself a shiny red-petaled flabebe. Well done, Lachlan.
It's funny you mention Lachlan, because jumping onto Campfire and on the map, I can see an image in Walpole Park. It's a shiny Hitmonchan from the Spotlight Hour that was tonight, and it simply says, thanks, Walpole Park. Forgot the hashtag there, Sunshine, but well done.
And I've got one here from LF Kamala, Lachlan Firth.
What?
Again?
Caught in a raid with the lovely at Motters19 and Ian Waterfall. Some surprise sparkles, hashtag shinies of the week at Incense Podcast. And he got the shiny Surviper, and I will throw him under the bus. He's just said it himself. He did it in a raid.
I mean, getting it from a raid, well done.
It's a hell of a gamble, though, isn't it, for a shiny. But anywho, I've got one here on X. It is from our very own Sue, Hermes Ninja. And Sue has put on episode 169 of Incense Podcast and took a leisurely rainy day drive about. Success. Second half of the rivalry in the bag. Shiny Zangoose, Sue. Love it. Love it, love it. There's also a nice little image of Sue in the vehicle with her Lapras guarding the sat-nav on her dashboard. Love it.
Very nice indeed. I'm going to jump into our Patreon Discord because I've just spotted this catch from literally tonight. Rogue Trooper. This is a hell of a pull, actually. Just caught. What the heck do I do with this? Crying laughing. And it's actually a Schnundo Tangler. It's a 0% shiny Tangler, which is just insane. So, I mean, one of the rarest things you can pull in. Big congratulations on that.
I can tell you
what
to do with that. You max it to level 50.
Yeah.
Yes.
Power
but
it
make
up.
Sure you've got power-up Pokemon tasks.
Yes. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I'll round out. Well, this one came in on May the 3rd be with you. And Chris, Spindiana, 98%. So, 98% Tapu Fini.
Oh,
so close, he said. Damn.
That is so, so close. Still epic.
Yeah. Good catch, man. Well done. GGs.
Congratulations.
So some great shinies there and quite a lot of content there from a hairy Australian, Lachlan.
Coincidental.
And
coincidental.
I actually think if we put them side by side, I think Lachlan would give Mark's Polar Run for his money.
What in hairiness?
Right, Milo. Jesus. It's well rooted. That's what I'm going to
hide.
It's well rooted. Yeah. Not anymore. It's fallen over in the jingle.
It's got a hairy base, Milo.
Oh, jeez.
An interesting get to know you question earlier in the show tonight. The question I asked was, if you could stop a crime by committing the same crime, what would you choose? With a little sinister looking little face next to it. I think that's anyway, these are the boys' answers. Which of these do you agree with the most? Well, it was a close one. In third place with 31% of the vote.
Ooh.
With 31% in
that's
third
huge.
Place.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
It's fraud. With I've used an emoji of a little face with like Mr. Potato Head.
So the tamest crime got the lowest votes. That just shows what our listener base thinks.
It does. It does. So there we go. Fraud with 31%. In second place with 33% of the vote.
Close.
Smack bang a third of it. Yeah. Was murder. The Vienna. Murder.
So people do GTA.
So people just drive around running hose over.
Hose over. Yes, with 37% of the vote. And the winning one was a bit of GTA. Grand Theft Auto at its finest. Now,
fantastic.
We've got a few little comments. We'll read two or three of them out. But Lucy Davis said, my parents need a car, but we can't afford one. So stealing one to stop a crime would be awesome. Although I have no idea what you guys are on about. So it could be something completely different. No, you got it right, Lucy.
Yeah, you nailed it.
You nailed
get
it.
A new car out of it. It's by proxy. It's great. I'm going to pick Mark Bailey's. So it says, murder seems pretty final. I think it's easier to live with yourself with either of those others. Although, admittedly, to stop a murder, pondering, questionable face. I'm curious to think about what you've been discussing to come up with this question. Well, now you know.
Now you know.
We'll listen to a different podcast.
And I'm just going to comment that the Italian tripod, our very own Italian himself, I am Prius, has just put in a GIF of, well, somebody dancing around with a machine gun saying, time to become a criminal.
Very nice.
Very nice. He loves a GIF, doesn't he? I am GIFus.
I am GIFus.
Well, thank you for everyone who took time to join my poll or get on my poll tonight. It was very much appreciated. There were 49 of you actually on the poll, so it was a good turnout.
20 off a good number.
20 off a very good number indeed. 170 is in the can. Is that the right saying, boys? I've said it right.
It works, yeah.
And hopefully you have enjoyed it as well. And if you have enjoyed the podcast, please, if you haven't done so already, hit that little follow or subscribe button. It will take you to it. It will let you know when new shows drop. If anything, it makes your life easier and doesn't cost anything.
Oh, actually, bad news.
Oh,
what?
I had an email earlier, actually, from Google Podcasts that will cease to be soon, and it will be integrated in June into YouTube Music.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how that plays out. We also encourage reviews of the podcast. And who knows, if you leave us a witty... Well, just if you write and leave us a review, it'll probably get featured. But, you know,
you could just put hello in your review. We'd still read it out.
It would still read it out. But, yeah, please do it and we will...
All right, Lionel.
Consider reading it out. Hello. Is it a review you're looking for?
We are, yes.
We obviously encourage 5-star reviews, but give us what you feel we're worth. Please also follow us across our social media platforms on X, Instagram. And I've got this new platform called ETC on here. Oh, so et cetera. I'll see what I've done there.
ETC.
New abuse for Threads.
Incense Podcast and Threads and Campfire. And if you become a Patreon member at Discord, mm-hmm. Hey, do it. It's fun. It's interactive. And
Discord,
our
Patreon starts at $1.50 a month. So for Discord access and occasional recordings, definitely worth the investment.
Absolutely. By doing that, you will keep up to date with all the latest stuff to drop. Please use our world famous hashtag Shiners of the Week. If you want to be featured in the Shiners of the Week section, you can use it across all our aforementioned platforms.
Can you clarify the spelling?
I sure can.
F-L-O-C-K.
F-L-O-C-K.
O-F-F.
Oh, Niantic, what have you done giving us a name called Flock?
Flock? Oh. But no, that is S-H-I-N-I-E-S-O-F-T-H-E-W-E-E-K. Not E-A-K, as Milo likes to use at the moment.
Shows the week, E-A-K.
But also, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank our Patreon members. Yes, we've just mentioned it. The patronage does start at £1.50, as we say every week.
Or the equivalent in your local currency.
Or the equivalent in your local currency. Exactly, exactly, exactly. But without Patreon, it would not allow us to do what we do. It is something that does give us the resource for the time spent in producing the podcast. And like we say, we create this for your very ears to enjoy. So please do check it out if you're not already a member. But we also do want to take this opportunity to pay a special thank you, a named thank you, to our gold Patreon members. Like I said, you are the bedrock and you allow us to do what we do. Our Patreon members are Hermes Ninja, JB, Clifford Mert, Darby Russ, Kerry and Zachary, Connolly, Apex 171, Mufti, Barside 2, High Bone, you heard him earlier, Maz aka Osber Lionheart, and Mandy Croft. Thank you all so very, very much. Thank you all for tuning in to listen.
Well, before we end, boys, good news.
What?
What Pokemon can offer excellent support around the chest?
a bra Pokemon?
It's a bra spotlight hour next Tuesday, May the 14th. And it is also going to include 2x evolution XP, which usually I would tilt my nose up at disapprovingly. However, you've probably just been catching a lot of Pidgey and Pidove, which are cheap evolutions. So if you're looking to level up, you should have some cheap and easy XP at your fingertips.
People don't do EVO grinds anymore.
Well, they should. Hark back to 2016.
Bring it back, brother.
The OG times.
Well, all I can say is thank you for listening. Have a great week. We will see you next week. And also on that extremely disappointing bombshell, I'm going to repeat, see you next week again. Bye-bye.